Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for attending another great show of Family Matters with Kenny and Kwajalein. I am your host, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife next to me, Kwajalein Johnson.
Hello.
And we're going to get ready to get started here in a few. But first, I would like to start off by just kind of introducing and doing a lead-in for the show on tonight. And oftentimes, whether male or female, you may wonder to yourself, do I still have it? There are marriage ratios on a downward spiral because of lack of consistency and confidence. Singles are afraid of loving again because of past relationships that have fallen through the cracks. There are even people who were once at the top of their game, whether it be job, health, wealth, and many other things. Now they are still left asking themselves, do I still have it? How do you find out if you still have it? What are some ways or some things you can do to never forget it? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight on this great episode of Blog Talk Radio. Today's date is April 5th, 2006. And for my streamers, if you're interested in calling in, make sure that you call in. The number is 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571. All right, tonight I'm going to go ahead and begin by just opening up the lines. And callers, I'm going to call your last four, and if you're interested in, you know, speaking a little bit, just let us know how you heard about the show. And if you have anything, I'm going to keep the lines open so that way you have an opportunity to speak. But my first caller, ending in 1408, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. My name is Ms. Thomas, and I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. And I heard about this by my niece, Shannon, from Atlanta. And the comment I want to speak on is marriage. What I have is marriage are good as you make it. You have to make it or break it.
Amen.
And first of all, God is first. Then love, trust, and respect. That's my comment.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and we want to thank Shannon for telling you, you know, about the show. And like my husband said, we're going to leave the line open. So as we go on in the conversation, if you have anything to say, please feel free to, you know, if you have anything else to say, please feel free, you know, to chime on in. And we do appreciate what you just said because that is true. Yes, ma'am. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Jade, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Hello,
hello.
Yeah, I hear you. I know okay. This is a busy night for you, but, of course, we're going to leave the line open for you. You doing okay?
Yes, ma'am, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm doing
all
very
right.
Well. Yes, I love listening to the show.
Well, thank you for always calling. And your line will be open, so when you have something to say, just come on in.
Okay.
All right. Next, we're going to go ahead. Miss Brenda, are you there?
Yes, darling.
Hey.
Hi, my children, everybody. I love you all.
Hey, me too. How you doing?
I gotta say something so we can have a good laugh before we start to get serious.
All right.
Last Friday, I kept saying, I got to do something. What I got to do? And then about quarter till, I thought about y'all. I said, oh, boy, I'm really getting old. So I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here tonight.
We are glad you're here, and thank you for, you know, being a faithful listener. And your line will be open. So when you want to jump on
all
in,
right.
Jump in.
Okay.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Shannon. Are you there?
I am. Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
Good evening.
How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
It's wonderful.
Thank you for the invite. And, you know, your line will be open, so jump on into the conversation.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been getting buzz and we've been getting tips on y'all should add an extension to the show. Well, let me give you some good news on tonight. My wife is adding an additional 30 minutes on to the show tonight. Because we really feel like there's going to be something great that's going to get ready to come out of this conversation. There are going to be a lot of people that are going to be able to hear some things from others. And, you know, the iron sharpened iron concept, we're going to be able to talk about things, release them out in the open, and be able to have something that we can, you know, talk about and gain some encouragement from. So I noticed many of you may have noticed the topic, and it says, do I still have it? Well, what is that it that we're speaking of? Some of you may wonder. Well, that it can come from a variety of things. We're talking joy, love, hurt, peace, strength, motivation, and willpower, so on and so forth. But one I want to touch on definitely is the marriage, or not necessarily just the marriage, but the couples that have the singles that have a desire to be married, but they had a relationship that went south. You know, they may have had a fiance, or they may have had a, you know, someone that they were very interested in, and then that relationship went south. And then you're probably wondering to yourself, like, do I still have it? You know, this person hurt me really bad. You know, and I'm just fearful of falling in love and giving somebody else my heart like I gave this person before. Well, I'm here to tell you something. It's okay to fall in love, okay, because we know that God is love, right? But in God being love, right, God gives us the opportunity and the emotion to be able to fall in love. And God tells, you know, man in the Bible that when he separates from his mother and his father, he is to cling to his wife. But he said, he that findeth the wife findeth a good thing. Okay, and ladies, when you have a man that comes into your life, right, And you know, God has given that man to you, and he has given you a vision, and that revelation has come forth, and it has manifested itself, and you've been hurt before, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to love. You have to open yourself up in order for somebody to know and be able to trust you, and for you to be able to trust that person. But I just got a caller just chimed in. Let me go ahead and make sure I get this caller in so everybody can be on the line tonight. Okay, we have caller in again, 6770. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Quadrillion?
Hey there, how you doing?
Doing just fine. I'm just listening right now. I just got the opportunity to call in, so I was very interested in seeing what the show, how it takes off tonight. God bless you.
God bless you, too. All right. So now we talked about that not being afraid of falling in love. And some of you may have had that opportunity to fall in love. And like I said, you know, relationships have gone sour. Or let's even talk about joy, right? You had some things happen to you in the past to where, you know, you just haven't quite let go of yet. But I'm here to tell you, it's time for you to let those things go. Those things that have hurt you, what are they benefiting you? They're not benefiting you anything if they're hurting you still on today. All right, yeah, you know, scars may be present, but we have to look at the fact that those wounds need to be healed, and you need to get your joy back. All right, callers, I got the lines open. If anybody wants to speak, feel free to speak at any moment.
Yes, this is Ms. Thomas.
Yes, ma'am.
Speak on that. My thoughts on that is, like, how do you find out if you still have it? Question. By believing in yourself, first of all.
Uh-huh.
And also spending some time with our Lord Jesus Christ. First
Amen.
Thing in the morning when you wake up, you know, say, good morning, Lord. Good morning. Thank you for waking me up this morning, watching over me in my sleep last night. You know, just a few minutes with the Lord every day, you know, every day, and believing in yourself. and
Yes, ma'am. Amen. I love it. That's absolutely true.
And you know, just to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, Ms. Thomas, like you were saying, you know, believe in yourself. I think sometimes when we do, you know, we get older. Okay, I want the ladies. Come on, ladies. I need y'all to join in with me on this now. You know, when we do, you know, get older, we have kids, we get married, you know, the dynamic, what we thought our life was going to be, you know, what we thought our life was going to be when it was younger, it hasn't quite taken that turn. And so I think sometimes we do question, do I still have it? You know, do I still have that drive? Do I still have that motivation? Do I still, you know, the things, you know, that we had, okay, like Shannon. Shannon was my roommate. We were roommates in college. And, you know, our first year. So come on in, Shannon. And, you know, just looking at us back then compared to where we are now, it's like, you know, back then we were young, we have no kids. You know, that's where we were. We knew what we wanted in life, and our lives haven't turned out quite that way.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like you've lost something?
Me? Do I feel like I've lost something?
Yeah. Do you ever feel like you've lost?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. Because I know with me, I started having children at 20. And I stopped at 30-something. I don't know how old I was when I had Kaya. But I have four children, and, you know, I'm a single mom, so it just becomes a bit overwhelming at times. But I still feel like I got it, you know. But
girl, you know you got it now, Ms. Jones.
Just because of my personality. But some days, though, for real, I'd be like, okay, when I was 20, and I had two kids, it was easy for my weight to go back to the way it was. But now, hitting 40 with four children, it's completely different. So some days I do have to just encourage myself. But to kind of just, but I do want to comment on what Kenny was saying about, you know, being hurt from past relationships and, you know, still having that hope and all of that. What I'm beginning to, even though people bring baggage to the table sometimes because they haven't healed, I see baggage being brought not necessarily from a past relationship, but it could just be from just brokenness, period. And what I'm seeing a lot of now with marriages, people just don't stay married. Like with me, I just can't wait to meet my husband whenever I meet this man, but to look at a lot of my married friends or family members, it's like don't nobody stay married, or they married, but they got a lot of issues, and, you know, they're not happily married. So it's more so of people just needing to heal from their own past hurts. And then it's like, what an example of that. So that's kind of like what I'm seeing as far as being my issue, not really my issue, but just the things that I look at, like, okay, I know I want to be married, but I do want to, you know, I want us to stay married, and hopefully everybody, you know, the issues are done with and all that good stuff. So that's just my comment.
Well, you know, we're always going to have issues in marriage, but you're right. There are a lot of past hurts that we have, and then not only that, insecurities, which can go back to the topic, you know, because when you do get married and you have children and you know, and then us being military spouses, come on, Pastor Michelle and Missionary Jay, come on in on this if you guys want to. You feel like you lose a part of you, you know, and so it's like, do I still have it? Do I still have that part of me that I used to have? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's some of what, you know, we see in the breakdown of marriages, because there are some insecurities, and, you know, in addition to, like I said, being, you know, healed from the past hurts and things like that, and especially with women, it's like we get so caught up in our husbands, we get caught up in our children, and then we lose a lot of us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anybody?
You're so right, Pastor.
Right.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me? I just want to make a comment on what Kyra said. Like she said, there's not enough examples out here because you have your older people
because y'all didn't do
who've been married for like. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you.
Okay, so you have your older people who have been, you know, married for so many years, and then you have the generation now, our generation, the younger generation, that is just like they want that instant gratification. If things aren't working out right, then they're like, okay, I'm not going to work on it. I'm just going to move on to the next thing.
Right.
And that's the thing. And, you know, me and you have talked about this earlier. We as wives have to go through that long suffering period. And then Pastor Michelle also taught us as far as, you know, we are women and we have to birth out in our husbands what we want. So we have to work at it as our, you know, as our children grow in the womb. That's how we have to do our husbands so that they can be not what we want them to be, but kind of just, you know, mold them the way they need to be, you know, for us, because it's always a learning experience. And that's the thing. People aren't willing to learn anymore. People aren't willing to suffer long anymore to have things the way that they need it.
Right. That's right. And, you know, it's about us as wives because, you know, according to the Bible, we were made, you know, as a helpmeet. You know, we were, and we did. We have some callers that just joined, and we're going to open up the lines for you, for you all, in just a minute. But you know, we are helpmeets for our husbands, and
right.
You know, and so, and the purpose is to help them to be who God designed them to be, to help them
Amen.
To walk in their destiny. And sometimes, in doing that, we do feel like we're losing us. You know, that we're losing a, you know, of us. And so then sometimes we're doing it, but we're not doing it joyfully. You know, we have, let's just be real. Well, maybe it's just me, you know, go through I've gone through points where I've had some resentment, you know, and just really dealt with those things because I'm like, well, what about me? What about me? Anybody
right.
want to comment on
that? I do. I would like to comment. This is Pastor Michelle. I think Shannon was talking about being in the age bracket and having kids and the examples. I totally agree with that. I feel that God has molded my husband and I to be that. We deal with a lot of marriages on a day-to-day basis sometimes. And I am one of the ones who, and I'm not boasting and bragging because better believe I've been through my fair share before marriage of things. But when people talk about marriages being difficult, to me, this is just my own personal opinion, it is as difficult as you and your husband make it. Why
Amen.
Do I say that? Why do I say that? I say that because you can govern yourself. When I teach women, and Pastor Kenny, this is, you know, just hold off just for a second. When I talk to the women and I tell the women, I say, you actually control the marriage. You know, but when I say just that statement, the men are like, what? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we're the head of the house. You're right. You are the head of the house. But in Proverbs 31, who controls the house? So if the man comes in and steps in and be the head, we actually run everything and fine-tune everything that goes on. And it's just that as far as like when children or bills, it's something that we can't put together, then we go to them for a second approval or help or whatever. But we pretty much control everything in the dynamics of our home. We tell the children, you know, because our husbands are at work, so we're dealing with homework, we're cooking, we're cleaning, we're changing diapers, we're ironing clothes, we're washing dishes. We are running and maintaining the home. The husband is actually the one, what I would call the enforcer. He comes in, and if the kids are just getting out of line, he enforces what we already done. Now, listen to this. Let me share this with you for the ones who are looking and waiting on their husband. First of all, make sure that you're in the position of
of wanting to be a wife, because after being single in your late 30s, early 40s, are you willing to share your space? Are you willing to say, okay, if I have to move from here because my husband and I says, you know, or my husband says, baby, let's find something and start over. And you say, all right, I only got 5 more years to pay off this house. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to become that wife? Are you willing to pay attention to the needs of the husband? And I say, let me say it all, because like Pastor Quadrant said, the Bible calls the wife the helpmeet. That means you're going to work in the marriage. Even when it feels like the husband is not working, that's going to require you praying. It's going to require you fasting when he doesn't know that you're fasting. It's going to require you, when he's asleep, anointing. It requires a lot, especially, again, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, especially when you are the one that is carrying as far as loving the Lord. It requires a lot to be a wife. But here's this. Think about this. It's going to benefit you in the end. Now, I'm 25 years with the same man, 23 years married. Now it's paid off all the work that I did prior. So for me, now marriage is easy. I was with my pastor, and we were going to Georgia, and she made a comment, and I don't even know if she remembers this comment. She said, you know, you never really complained to me about anything with your husband, with Cedric, with Deacon Page. And I was like, yes, I do. She said, no, you don't. You don't tell me anything that's going on with you all. And I thought, I was like, wow, that's because nothing ever goes on. And I'm not saying that as in a cocky way at all. It's just that we are now in that, what I call the groove. We're on the smooth sailing. Do we have bumps every now and then? Yes, we do, because we can have some heated fellowship. But we learn how to argue. Over the years, we learn how to argue properly. Does it always go like that? Absolutely. Now it does. Before, it was the blow up and walking out and storming out, driving off, you know, and even just, you know, getting irate. However, my children never, ever, I cannot do, my son, my 6-year-old just came out. Have you ever heard me and Daddy argue? Right, he's my 25, all the way to my 16-year-old, they've never heard us arguing. Now, that's something that I'm proud of. But does everybody feel that way? Absolutely not. Some children hear it, but if they hear you argue, also understand it's important that they hear you make up. Don't let them just hear you argue, and there's no hug and no kisses and no baby, I'm sorry. Because then they're going to then grow up, and they're going to be worse than what we feel like, having this microwave generation. Well, yeah, I'm going to get married to you, but always, you know, there's always room for divorce.
My Lord.
Instead of saying that I'm married to you for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, forsaking all others, as long as we both shall live. And so, see, we don't take those vows that we put before God serious anymore. They've taken that part out. As long as we both shall live, and to death do us part, they've taken that completely out of marriages nowadays.
My God. Uh-uh.
And so it gives the opportunity to go ahead and have that divorce clause. Now, as now being with my husband 20-something years, even today, I'll just give an example for today. I got up, got dressed. You know, I'm talking on the phone, so he makes it in for lunch. And I was still upstairs, not all the way dressed, and he kind of shocked me because he was early. And I came on downstairs, and I still made him a lunch, homemade. And he says, baby, you're not going to have enough time. I said, I'm going to have enough time. So he watched me pull out potatoes, and he's looking at the potatoes. It's 12:07. He has to leave here at 12:45. And so he sees the fish in the freezer, and so here I am cutting up potatoes, making homemade cheese, bacon and cheese sauce, frying him some potatoes, and making some fried fish, all in a record amount of time. But this is what was important. Two things was important. One, that I put my hands in something to cook for my husband. Two, let me tell you what I said. I still got it. Your queen still got it. My king can sit down and eat. And all he did was grin and laugh, and my son is like, look at you, look at y'all.
And I was like, and I smiled, and I, you know, kind of flirted with him a little bit. And he sit down and blush and, hey, this is how you know you still got it. You have to make sure that you have it by the words that you say to your king, by the words that he says to your queen. And I'm talking to women because I'm a woman. You have to make sure that your husband is really feeling like the king when he walks in the door. He should not have to walk in the door from having a long day at work to come home to argue with you.
Amen. Y'all amen on that now. She's telling the truth.
That's not how it goes. So I'm just one of the ones who believe in, and you know, and I look and I tell my pastor, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Quadrant are my overseers, and I came to visit Pastor Quadrant, and I sat on the couch. I purposely sat on the couch, and I watched her move without sitting down for about 3 hours straight.
My God.
3-4 hours straight. And then when she sat down, Pastor Kenny came in for lunch. She made him some for lunch or, you know, whipped him up some. Oh, no, I think he had whipped him up some because he was trying to get ready for a CT test is what he was doing. So he knew exactly how he wanted to eat this particular day. But while he was there, she was getting clothes, taking him up and down the stairs. She didn't even have time to sit down and enjoy and say, baby, how was your day? How's your day going so far? Because she still has little kids. She still, you know, is maintaining a home. And then when she finally sat down just to check on me, and I was like, I'm fine. And within 5 minutes, she was up again. So at the end of the day, and I'm looking at her, my pastor is a very, if anybody's seen Pastor Quasen, she's a very, very beautiful woman. But I'm looking at her at the end of the day, and Pastor Kenny cares nothing about what I'm about to say. But I'm looking at her at the end of her day, hair all over her head. I got, you know, put stuff on her because the kids done put stuff on her. And at the end of the day, she's looking at her husband with her clothes looking whatever, and she's still smiling at him. And as he still goes off to bed, even she was just sick this last week. I don't mean to toot your horn. Even when she was just sick this last week, she said, yeah, Kenny stay home, take care of me. Where's he at? He's asleep. And I was like, oh, he's asleep? She said, yeah, but that's okay because he really, really, really has been, you know. And to me, that's just an example of you being that wife still taking care of your king. Now, that's just my thing. And at the end of the day, when Pastor Kenny yelled over that balcony, he said, baby, you coming to bed? All we could do was laugh. You in trouble. He's like, girl, let me go upstairs. You know, because he waited his time. It was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, no, this is enough. But, and you jump like that. You better jump like that. I'm not paying your bills. Your husband is. You better go see about him. Because in return, there's nothing she can ask for that he won't go outside of his means. Even if he has to ask for it from somebody else to provide her, not just her needs, but her wants. So I am going to toot my horn because I'm 24 years into this. And Pastor Quasen, you have two examples on the phone that have been through, and now we're on this other side. And so this will tell you women out there that you can do it. I would not suggest marriage. I would tell everybody to get married. That's
me
my
too.
Opinion. Now I'm done for the night.
You're not done. We thank you for that. So, I'm sorry. We thank you for all of that great information because you know. Marriage is, and we do have some callers, we're about to get to you, just one second. You know, marriage, for Kenny and I, you know, it hasn't been, I would say, as gone probably as easy as it has for Pastor Michelle and her husband, probably because both of us are, just our personalities. But we've sustained. And I think that's the testimony that, you know, that we have because it's not that we've never been at the point where we wanted to give up, you know, because we have, you know, not going to deny that. It's not that we haven't been at the point where, you know, well, we didn't want to, you know, just say, you know what, forget this, forget this. But it was still something on the inside of us, because people can tell you, you know, not to, but it still has to be something on the inside of you that's saying, okay, I'm still going to stay, because I do still have it. I still have hope, even though right now I don't feel like I have hope, but I really do still have it. You know, I still have hope that things are going to get better. And so, you know, it's a journey. That's what I would say. But it is, like Pastor Michelle says, it's worth it. You know, I definitely would not tell anyone not to get married. I just would say we do need preparation, and I think that's another reason why we have a lot of divorces, because we're not prepared for marriage when we go in it. But we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for some more callers. Callers, we're going to call your last four. If you have anything to say, please go ahead and comment. If you're just listening, you can just give us your name and just let us know you're listening. We're going to start with 1355. Caller ending in 1355.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry, I didn't expect to be the first person to ask anything or say anything. Good evening. Does it have to be on marriage? Because my questions are on another subject.
No, ma'am. We're just talking about, you know, do you still have it? So, no, ma'am, it doesn't have to be on marriage. We were just talking about marriage. Go ahead. Is this Diane?
Well, I have a question. Yes, it is.
Hi.
Hi, how are you? My question is mainly for I have two teenagers. I have one that's going to be 13 and one is 14. He's a boy. And I am a widow, so I need to know, as I'm being a single woman, they're going through adjustments. How do I deal with their adjustments at this age? You know, how do I deal with being a single mom and I don't have a man in the home? Does anybody have any suggestions for that? Or
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm gonna let my husband. And then, Shannon, I know you're gonna have something to say, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
All right. So, what I would say to you, ma'am, is as a single mom, and you say you have two teenage boys or one teenage boy.
No, I'm sorry. I have one teenage boy, he's 14, and my daughter is 12. She'll be 13 in May.
Okay. Well, what I can say to you, definitely, right, in everything, just continue to encourage him and be patient with his transitions and changes into, through adolescence, I mean, and through his teenage years, because as boys, you know, they get older, testosterone levels start to build up a little more. They get a little, you know, pumped up, and they feel that need to be challenged. So, you know, he's gonna encounter other men when he's playing basketball or whatever sport, you know, and you just be patient with him. I mean, if there are any programs around there that he can do as far as like community service or anything like that, just giving back to the community as well as your daughter, right? Because as a mom and you have a daughter, I mean, it's pretty much kind of easier for you to relate with your daughter than it is for you to relate with your son. However, right, just be patient with him and just allow him to grow and mature, and try to find a mentorship program. There are plenty out there that are available. I can't name any because I'm not sure exactly where you're located at, what region or what state. But just look into, you know, mentorship programs and things of that nature, and he'll appreciate that. I promise you. And your daughter, of course, you know, like I said, you'd be able to relate to her because she's a girl. She's a young lady. She's gonna be able to relate to you. And I hope what I said, you know, is you know, at least a start for you.
Okay, I'm doing that now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're doing great, ma'am.
Yeah.
You definitely
okay.
have already made that first important step. So I want to commend you on that, and I really do admire you for your courage in calling and you know sharing your story with us. So thank you.
Thank you.
We have another caller on that's a single mom. Shannon, you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I am a single mom of four. My children are 18, 15, almost 10, and 6. And I have always been a single parent for the most part. But I will say when my son hit about 13 or 14, he did try to challenge me. And so I think it's just something when they enter into that period, that adolescence period, you know, transitioning to a teenager. And then, two, they can't really identify with mama. You know, it doesn't matter really a lot of times how much we try. They do need, you know, a male involvement, some type of male involvement. But you don't give them no pass now. Don't give him no pass when he tried to be disrespectful, because I didn't give my son, you know, no. I'm still the mama. But I kept him very, very active.
That's right.
Yes, he is very, very active. He used to step. He was on the step team, and he dances. So I've always kept him, you know, involved in activities, one, so he really couldn't. Well, to try to kind of offset his feelings that he had because his daddy wasn't necessarily, you know, involved in his life. So I would always try to make sure that whatever it was that he was involved with, he did have a positive male to, you know, go to and talk to. I never really got him in any type of mentorship program, but he received it through coaches and that type of thing. And then also, depending on your situation, also depending on how recent you became a widow, all of that is a change. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times as moms, especially when you're parenting alone, we try to offset what they're missing, or we try to make up for what they're missing. We can't do that. We only one person. I've tried to do that, and I fail every time. But you may also need counseling, just to kind of balance, get some balance back into the household. But those are my suggestions. I keep all of my children active, and I do try to find some time for me because it does become overwhelming. It's a lot of work, but I pray. I have to make sure I operate on God's strength because I couldn't make it, you know, any other way. So that's my comment. Do you have any questions?
I appreciate it. We're all in counseling, so everything that you all are saying is confirming what I'm doing. So I appreciate that.
Okay, well, good deal.
Thank you, Shannon. Also, Diane, I don't know if you're doing this, but I would also suggest if you can, you know, to find a support group for you,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
Someone that's dealing, you know, with some of the same things that you're dealing with that can relate to what you're going through. You know, and if that's something you're doing, that's great. If it's something that you hadn't thought about, then that's a suggestion that I would also, you know, add to everything that they said.
Amen, Mom, because when you're healthy, your kids are healthy.
So. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes,
you're welcome.
Ma'am.
Your line, you know, we're going to leave your line open. So if you want to just mute your phone and, you know, if you have anything else to say, your line is open. We're going to go to the next caller ending in 1791. If you have anything to say, please give us your comments. If not, if you could just give us your name.
Praise the Lord, everybody. My name is Crystal Allen, and I'm from Macon, Georgia. And I am a single mom, mother with of three children, 14, well, three boys, 14, 12, and 11. And I was just going to say everything that was said before myself was great, some great advice and things that I am currently now seeking mentorship with my sons, because this 14-year-old is doing things that he hadn't done before. And I mean, it's just some great advice and a confirmation as well for myself. But I'm just glad to be here online to just
hear all the advice and recommendations and everything that is would be beneficial for me and my family. Great to hear from you all.
Well, thank you for calling in, Missionary Crystal, and we will leave your line open. If you have anything to say, you know, just chime on in. Thank you for that. We're going to go to the next caller, ending in 6427. Sorry, hold on 1 second. 6427, caller, okay, that caller hung up. Okay, sorry. And that's it. My mom is on the line. Mom, your line is open if you want to say anything. Okay. So we're going to go ahead and continue. Keisha doesn't want to say anything. We're going to go ahead and continue with our topic. Does anyone have anything else to say?
My name is Ms. Thomas, and I'm going to speak again on marriage.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been married for 34 years, happily married. When I met my husband, that was God sent. And I didn't meet him in a church. I met him in a club. I'm not bragging, but when I was young, I used to be in the club, dancing and having a good time. But I thank God for my husband. We try to love each other, give each other support, you know, and just trust in the Lord. Like I said before, put God first in your life. Then you love one another, cherish one another, respect one another, honor one another. Every day I wake up, you know, I love my husband. Every night before we go to bed, I love my husband. I cook, wash, and clean. I give God the glory. I'm retired now. I'm able to sit home, and he takes care of me. So, you know, you just keep trusting in the Lord, each and every one of y'all, and believing that God going to send you your husband. You believe in God to send him to you, not for you to choose. God will send him to you if you believe and you trust and have faith. But you have to love and respect one another and honor one another and have trust. That's what I want to say.
Thank you. Those are very, you know, important things that we do have to have in our marriage. So marriages, and I guess that's something, you know, what happens when you feel like you don't have the trust? Does anybody want to comment on that?
What happened when you don't feel like you want to trust? I have to trust.
If something has happened in the relationship and you feel like you don't have the trust anymore for yourself.
Well, that's when you keep open. You keep the relationship open. You talk to one another and let the other one know how you feel. You don't keep it balled inside because it's going to fester, you know. Like if you feel like you have something inside that you want to talk to your husband about, turn off the TV, turn off the radio. You look each other in the eye and say, baby, you know, I feel like we need to talk. And you let your husband know how you feel and what's going on inside. And then you work it out. You don't just let it fester inside and not talk about it because it's nothing. That's not going to help the relationship.
Right. Communication is key.
Yes,
and then the date nights. Just because you've been married, just because I've been married all them years, we still have date night. You know, pray together. You know, and that's it. Communication.
That's right. Communication is key. Date night. Because, you know, when you are a family that has younger kids, sometimes you can feel like you've lost that, you know, the dating part of it. And sometimes that's part of the stress, you know.
Yeah.
So, again, do we still have it? Yeah, we still have it. I think we just sometimes feel like we don't have it, and so we don't make the we don't create the opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's my opinion on that.
Yes. I must say I'm agreeing and I'm totally following everything everyone's saying. That's, I mean, great advice, great words of encouragement. Thank you, Ms. Diane. And what I want to ask, right, is how do you know, right, that when let's say in your present state right now, okay, and, you know, like we talked about before, things may not be going the way you planned for them to go, right, and you lost your motivation, okay, because you feel like giving up, okay? So how do you know that your drive and that willpower to continue moving is still present if you're not moving in it? Okay, Bible says in James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. See, there are a lot of times, right, we have friends and you have coworkers that you may work with, right, that just feel like giving up. And I think we should not be those what I call sideliners. I think we shouldn't be sitting there watching them go through their struggle. I think what we should be doing, you know, is working to help them, encourage to get to show them that you still have that drive. Encourage them, okay? Because when we do that, right, when we're encouraging one another, it brings not only inner strength in them, but it also brings about a bit of inner strength in us to be able to motivate them and build them up. And then when you see them, you know, a year or two down the line, right, you're not looking for any affirmation or praise or anything like that. But that person, you could have very well saved that person from just thinking that giving up on life was it, that this is the final cause and I'm done with it. You know, things are not working the way I want to work on it. Anybody got anything to say on that?
Yes, I do. This is Shannon. I just think we have, well, if it comes to personally, you know, because I know, like with me, I feel like, you know, with my job, I love my job. I'm blessed. I have a job to go to. Thank you, Lord. But I always tell people corporate is not me. I'm a writer. And, you know, I inspire women. I empower women. My heart's desire is to help as many women, especially young women with children. That's my passion, like, for real. And so I really want, like, I feel like I should be on that path, you know, working more towards it. It's not that I'm not working towards it, because I am, but I feel like I should be working more towards it. So I get frustrated. I mean, I get an attitude because I ain't doing what I want to do. But giving up is not an option. That's
amen.
How I mean. That's my point. Even when people, you know, friends are going through their challenges, I heard a pastor say one time, you'll know when you have a real friend, because if your friend go through whatever that is that they're going through, if that friend goes through it with you, that's a friend. Many
right.
people, they be like, you know, peace out, I'm done, you know, this too much, or I ain't got time for this, or she getting on my nerves, or whatever the case. But when you have somebody to go through it with you, I'm talking about for praying with you, fasting with you, seeking God, whatever it is, you know, encouraging you, helping you get through the way, because it's not an option. Giving up is not an option, period, point blank. And that's the mentality that we have to continue to have. There may be a delay. It may, you know, it's going to take me a minute to get to where I want to be, but I know I'm going to get there. I know that. So because I know I'm going to get there, I just have to be patient through this process. And trust and believe where I am is where I'm supposed to be right now.
That's right.
And that's my comment.
Amen.
And, you know, I can completely understand that. And sometimes, and that's kind of what I was, you know, trying to get to earlier, like when you're not on the path that you plan to be on, you know, even, you know, where you thought you wanted to be or, you know, or whatever, then just knowing that you still have it, you know, because I know I've gone through a time after I lost the twins where I felt like I didn't really have my drive and my motivation like that. And I think we can apply that to every aspect of life, even our marriages, you know, personal success or, you know, what, you know, whatever part of life, you know, that we may feel sometimes for those, you know, for those of us that you know, get discouraged in those areas, that, you know, just reminding ourselves that, you know, it's still there, whatever it is, you know, that it's still there. Does anybody else have anything?
Can I just say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Most of us, because I have too, been in military life, and I had a friend, and this was back in the 70s. This young lady, I'm just telling you this, some of you may have run into the situation. A young lady called a friend of mine, and she asked her, she said, "Will you please talk to me? I really need to talk to somebody." So my friend told her, say, "You know, my husband's so funny." She said, "I'm trying to get his dental fixed, and I'll call you back when when I get through cooking." In the meantime, this young lady took her life.
Jesus,
and we never found out why she killed herself, you know. And so, and what I'm trying to say is, if someone calls you, you may be busy doing something, and I know sometimes we have to put our priorities in the right place. And if somebody calls you and say, "I need to talk to you," you never know what they're thinking on their mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best to just say, "Well, okay, I'll talk to you. I don't have long." You can even say, "I don't have long to talk to you, but I will talk to you." You know, you talk because you sound like you really need to talk to somebody. Because this really stressed my girlfriend out for years, you know, because she felt like she was the cause of this child being dead. I said, "That wasn't your fault." But she said she felt guilty because she didn't talk to her. She was trying to fix her husband's dental, you know. So sometimes we just have to stop and listen to people. I don't care how stupid it sounds or how crazy it sounds to us, but sometimes all people want to hear is somebody say, "I love you," hear something good from you, you know, and that can encourage them. So I just wanted to put that out there because it's something to think about. That's a heavy thing.
Yes. Miss Brenda, thank you for sharing that, because that is a heavy thing. And it is just, you know, sometimes putting ourselves to the side, you know, for somebody else. And we just have to do that sometimes.
Yeah, and now, you know, we're listening, and, you know, there was a topic thrown out there about people sometimes wanting to give up. I have one more scripture for you coming from Jeremiah 8:4. It says, "Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return?" That's what we're talking about. Do I still have the strength? Do I still have that motivation? Do I still have faith in God that though my present state is not looking great, that do I still have faith in God that God is going to pull me out of this? We have to make sure that we're encouraging one another. And I kind of wanted to kind of put a little different spin on it tonight. But I have a caller here, caller ending in 6427. You're on the air. Caller ending in 6427. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So the topic now is about not giving up.
Not giving up. Mm-hmm. Just having that willpower. Do you still have that power to continue?
Yes. Definitely
okay.
Have to be a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
However, you have to go through many warfare. I'm a friend of Shannon. I have a very strong calling, and you have to go through a number of warfare. I've never been married. I'm a single mother of one also. However, when you have a calling on your life, you're going to go through a number of different storms, number of different trials, number of different things that are going to come after you. So you definitely have to look to God.
Amen.
However, I do have the desire to be married. But what happened with me, being that I do have a calling on my life, many of the men, Shannon knows this, were assignments versus mates. What I mean by that is they had callings on their lives, so they were not necessarily soulmates, but they were what was supposed to be preparations or assignments from the Lord versus mates for me. So, again, being that I was immature in the calling from the Lord, I did not know at the time. So, you know, a lot of trials and tribulations. But I was hoping, oh, maybe this is him. Maybe this is him. Maybe this is a soulmate so that we could be that power couple for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you just have to be prepared. And what was happening was I was being overly excited for a soulmate so that, again, we could hurry and do kingdom work, or we could hurry and be an entrepreneur, you know, and get people prepared for the Lord. But what I was finding that the Lord was saying, no, until you realize I'm your soulmate, I'm your king, I'm your father, I'm your confidant, none of that will come. And that's when Matthew 6:33 kicks in and says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness, and then all the other things shall be added unto you. And until mm-hmm. you get that deep down in your soul, I will not bless you with one of mine. And so, yes, you have to keep on pressing and keep on pressing and keep on going through many trials and tribulations and realize that I'm first and foremost. And until he also told me, until you're faithful, loyal, and dedicated to me, none of the other stuff will come. So, yes, I do adhere to what you all are saying with fighting and persevering and pressing through all the trials and tribulations.
Amen. Amen.
My comment.
Amen. Amen.
My comment.
Thank you very much. That was very powerful. Thank you very much, woman of God.
All right.
It was.
Thank you all.
Okay, so with us having that strength to carry on, I mean, like I said, it's important because without it, right? without our faith in the Lord, where would we be?
Amen.
Where would we be? Because faith without works is dead. We can't sit around, right, and just mope and want to give up. We have to want to press toward the mark. We have to want to continue to move forward in God and just encourage your friends, encourage yourself, right? Because a lot of times we do most of the encouraging, right, and we do most of the picking people up when they fall down. But who's there for us sometimes? Sometimes it's nobody. You know,
Jesus.
Physically, and you have to be able to encourage yourself. You have to be a fighter and willing to stand up and say, dust yourself off and say, I can do this. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when we believe that and we impart that down in our spirit, right, I'm telling you, you come back alive. Things in you begin to open up again. Things in you begin to grow. Things in you begin to mature. Because when we go through our trials again, right, our trials are not just to show us, hey, all right, look, you messed up, and this is the end result of it. Our trials are to make us stronger. It's to make us stronger.
Yes.
So do I have anybody else out there have anything else to say? Lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I have something, Pastor Kenny. I have something.
Okay. Go ahead, Pastor Michelle.
With everything that I heard, and I know I said it was my last time and I was really trying not to talk, but with everything that I've heard dealing with family, your future, your assignment that God has for you, your children, your marriages, one thing that I'm going to say, when you feel like that you don't have it, because even I heard one of the ladies say, you know, communication, sometimes even after you communicate, you still feel that way. You still feel like I just don't have it. In any area, in any situation, not just communication with your husband, but with the boss, with the children, one thing that I have learned, and I'm going to say this and I'll be done, is that when we truly decide to cast our cares on God and understand how much he cares for us for real, just start thinking about the things that he's done for us, even when we're feeling sad and we're moping and we feel like we don't have it. We don't have that drive. We don't have that push, that, to make it to the entrepreneur that we need to be and open our business and things like that. We don't have it. Just start casting our cares on God.
And, amen.
And in that, just praise him when you don't feel like it. When you feel like everything around you is falling apart, still praise him through your tears, through what you're feeling. And I can guarantee, and I didn't mean to make my marriage sound like it was easy because, like I said, 25 years, we've had a couple of divorce scares. But we made it. We made it. And so just remember to cast your cares on God. That's what I wanted to say, Pastor.
Amen, Pastor Jill. Thank you very much.
And that was great because that's what it all goes, that truly is what it all goes back to. Because, really we can feel that we've lost it in any situation, Like I said earlier, I know it is a kind of well-rounded topic. I mean, because we can feel like that on our jobs. We can feel like that, in our homes. We can feel like that with our children. Am I the parent that I used to be? Man, I was this way with the oldest one, and now, the second one is, so you can feel like that in every area. But we do still have it, and it does all go back to God. It really does, because he has given us everything that we, that we need. And so, we really do thank you all for tuning in on tonight, for chiming in, for everyone's feedback. Everyone gave great, feedback, very encouraging, and, a lot of things I know I needed to hear, so I thank you all. And I know we have a few single women out there, and Pastor Michelle, you weren't on when I said this because your internet was down, but I'm going to get with some of you ladies because I do want to start a series for the women, for women that are married and single women that are desiring to be married, and I would like to do a few shows on that, so I'm going to be getting with you all on that, because I would appreciate your assistance, in that, because I do believe, again, that I've, you all have heard me say this before, that a lot of it is just that we go into marriages and we're not prepared. We don't know what to expect. Amen. And, we don't know our roles. And so this is why we have some of the issues that we have. But if we go in, more prepared, then some of these issues will be avoided. We do know there's going to be trouble. Even the Bible says there's trouble in marriage. So some things we can't, avoid. There are going to be some things, but there are some things, that we can still avoid if we have a better idea of, what marriage is and what part we play. And, and there's something else that I did want to say, Pastor Michelle, when you were saying that about the woman running, being, as far as our role in the marriage, that when I got ready to get married, I'll never forget, it was this older guy. He had been married for a long time, 30-some years. I don't even remember his name. But he worked at Geico with me, and he told me this. He said, you can drive that car wherever you want it to go as long as you let him sit in the driver's seat. And that statement stayed with me, because that let me know, and that was from a man that had been married a long time. We as women really truly do have a lot of power in our marriages and, in our families, and we have to make sure that we are not abusing that power, but we are utilizing it the right way, because we do have a lot of power and influence. And so we don't want to drive, we don't want to have him sit in the driver's seat and we driving the car over the cliff. We want to make sure we stay on the road and we're going the right way.
Amen.
We're trying to get to the destination, but we do, we have a lot of influence. And so, you know, we definitely are going to be doing that. But this topic was my baby's idea, and I thank you, honey. It was a successful topic. And I thank, thank everyone for listening in. We're going to go ahead and end. I told Kenny that I had extended the show, but not for us to go to 9:30, just in case we went over a little bit. You know, it wouldn't stop the streamers from listening.
Right.
That's why I extended it.
So, honey, I appreciate that. My sugar, I appreciate it, baby.
Because sometimes we go
over. That's right.
We're going to go ahead and end, and we look forward to everyone calling back in on Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And you all have a good night, and we love you guys.
All right, bye.
Love you.
Good night.
In this race that we run, you gotta have